وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِّبًا لِّيَرْبُوَ فِي
That which ye give in usury in order that it may increase on other people's property hath no increase with Allah.
Welcome to Islamic Economy, a program that is aimed to make us understand what Islam tells us with regard to spending, with regard to saving money, to dealing with money.
God is looking for an economic system that's based on real things. It's based on real production. It's based on real services. It's based on creating real value for people.
Islamic Economy, a program that offers Islamic solutions to your economic problems in your daily lives.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome once again to Islamic Economy, a program that will deal with the various aspects of Islamic economy. A program that is aimed to make us understand what Islam tells us with regard to spending, what Islam tells us with regard to saving money, what Islam tells us with regard to dealing with money, what Islam tells us with regard to the different dimensions of economy. But before that, inshallah, we will be looking at some important introductory discussions. We already started with something very important, and that is trying to analyze the faculties of the human soul so that it does not have any problem when it deals with economy in the outer world. As we know that in the beginning of this solar year, the leader of Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect him, mentioned this year as the year of economic struggle or economic jihad. The word jihad, although gives the connotation of a kind of war, but the important thing is that the word jihad talks about an inner struggle, even with regard to an outer war that is transpiring. Let's say we are talking about an economic war that we are facing from the outer world, from the phenomenal world. Still, when we talk about jihad, we talk about something that the nafs is doing, a struggle that the nafs is taking, is really participating with. Because jihad deals with the self, the nafs. But before, as we said, before we go to the outer jihad and outer economy, we should look at our individual self and look at how we can try to rectify and reform ourselves so that when we go to the outer world, we do the right things and we behave in the right way. And not only that, we make all the dimensions of our economic life to be full of peace, and we don't cause any problems for our neighborhood and for the people with we live. But before going to the different aspects of Islamic economy, as we said, we should look at our nafs and we should try to explore our nafs. In our previous discussion, we looked at the faculty of the intellect and we tried to explore what are the two extremes that a person can go with regard to the intellect and what is the point or the middle point, the point of moderation and i'tidal. And we said that if a person's intellect is in the state of equilibrium, then he would have wisdom, hikmah. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةِ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا The one who has been bestowed with wisdom has been given abundant good. فَقَدْ أُوتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Another faculty about which inshallah we will be discussing in this episode, and we will try to relate it also with the economy and the economic problems, is the faculty of desire or appetite. But before looking at this faculty, it is very important for us to look at the previous faculty and try to relate it with the economic problems that we face. Obviously, I do not want to give you all the details and the different examples because we don't have enough time. What is important is to give you one example to see how is it related with our economic life. Islam does not allow a person who is a simpleton and who does not know how to use money, he does not allow that person to use his own money. It says that the person, the marja or the wali, should take the authority of spending that money for his good, because the person doesn't know how to spend. For example, we had a person who was not insane, but he was silly. He was ahmak. He did not know how to use his money. He doesn't know where to spend, how to spend, how much to spend. For such people, Islam has rules and regulations. We are told that the guardian that is chosen for him, he would have the authority to spend the money for his good. Why? Because the person doesn't know how to spend. Why? Because his intellect is not very powerful. He doesn't have the state of hikmah. He has the state of balaha, for example. So this is how you find that it is related with economic problems in the outside world. So it is important for us to know in what capacity is the soul with regard to the intellectual faculty. Now we look at the faculty of the appetite, which is known as Al-Quwwatu Shahawiyya. Al-Quwwatu Shahawiyya basically also has two extremes. One of the extremes is known as Sharah, that in Arab, in English, we call that as gluttony. That is the extreme right, when a person overindulges and doesn't have any bounds when it comes to indulgence. For example, when it comes to eating, he doesn't care what he is eating. If he likes it, he says that I will indulge in eating. If he, for example, likes a certain meat which is not permitted in Islam, he or she will still indulge in that. Why? Because of that shahwa and that desire, that gluttony that a person has. Similar is with the case of having sexual relations. A person who doesn't have any bounds and goes and overindulges in sex may indulge in some bad things, things which are not allowed in Islam. For example, indulge in having relations with somebody who is not allowed, and he, for example, indulges in promiscuity, for example, in prostitution and so on. All these things he does because he has that nafs, that faculty of desire which is in the extreme, which is known as ifrat. And sometimes you will find that the person is in the extreme left, that is, he is completely still. In that sense, we call such a person that he has khumud. Khumud is the state of stillness. The person says, I don't want to eat, I don't want to get married, because, you know, that is better. I don't want to get married because there'll be problems to have a wife, for example, and then I don't want to engage in having relations with a woman and so on because this is not good. We have that extreme left. Sometimes what happens is that extreme left is achieved because of a person's own sin, that a person doesn't have that ability of, for example, eating the right food. Why? Because his whole body is suffering, for example. Or, for example, he can't have relations with his wife. Why? Because he doesn't have that feeling, all right? Because of some things that he has done, and now that he doesn't have that sexual feeling. So you find that he's in the state of humud. This is something also which is improper, all right? The balance is the state of iffa. Iffa, which we call chastity. This state of iffa is such that a person eats, indulges in relations with his wife, but does all these things in the framework of Islam. He doesn't go and do excess, even when it comes to things which are allowed. For example, the food that is allowed, he doesn't overindulge and overeat, for example. Even with regard to having relations with the wife, he is told that it is, for example, haram to have relations at these times. Or for example, it is not good, it is makruh to have relations at these occasions. He would not have. Why? Because he has that state of iffa, which is the state of equilibrium. Now, when a person doesn't have the state of equilibrium, you find that he tends to overspend. You see, this is how we relate the faculty of desire and appetite with our economic problems. You find there are some people who overeat, so they need a lot of money to buy more and more. There are some people who lavishly spend in different pursuits which make them engaged when it comes to their, for example, appetite. This also you will find that this is because the state of appetite is not in its equilibrium. If it would be in the state of equilibrium, you would find that they would not overspend. This overspending is because the person is extremely desirous of things which he should not. For example, he should have a balance. All right? So, in short, in this episode, what we basically covered is the second faculty, the faculty of appetite. And we said that the faculty of appetite also has three important states. One is the extreme left, which is negligence, when a person is in the state of humud, and that is known as a kind of stillness. He doesn't like to eat, he doesn't like to engage in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made halal with regard to matrimonial relations. This is the state of humud, which also is something which is reprimanded, and it is not something which is normal in a person. Then we have another state which is known as the state of ifrat, which is known as sharah and cupidity, the state of being extremely greedy and overindulging in things and even indulging in things which are haram. And then we have the state of iffa. Iffa is that state of equilibrium whereby a person does not overindulge, is always in the framework of Islam. And when we have this iffa is when our spending will be proper. But if we are overindulging, then you would find that we would spend a lot of money and we would waste money and getting more remote from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Insha'Allah, we will look at the third faculty in our next episode before we go to the main discussions about Islamic economy. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin.
O my Creator, O Allah, fulfill our aims in life, Allah. Forgive our sins, Ya Allah. O Allah, the Most Gracious, Ya Rabbi bin Mustafa, Balligh maqasidana, واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. O my Creator, O Allah, fulfill our aims in life, Allah. Forgive our sins, Ya Allah. O Allah, the Most Gracious. O Allah, the Most Gracious. Ya wasi al-karami.